Ken.
Hello.
I am Lauren.
I am Ken.
And this is Paradise After Dark. And this is a bonus episode.
Bonus.
We're going to give you a little CrimeCon recap. Now that we've been home for over a week now, and we finally got acclimated back to real life.
Yeah, that 1 hour time delay really get you going.
We finally got all the alcohol out of our system.
We did.
No, we didn't. We've still been drinking this whole time, but
definitely a different event, that's for sure.
Yes. It was such a good time.
Yes, it was.
Such a good time. So this is our bonus CrimeCon recap. We're going to tell you about all the fun stuff we did, all the people we met, and I'm going to let Kenneth take it away. Let's start with Thursday when we got there.
Oh, Thursday. Well, first of all, if you haven't gone to a CrimeCon event, you really need to go. The experience is amazing, not just the actual day of CrimeCon, but the evening time too. So CrimeCon's not just like a day event. It's a whole entire
weekend event.
There's going to be things happening all over the place. So with that being said, Lauren had this great idea that we're going to do first. So if you've never been to CrimeCon and you go, I think the next year it's in Vegas. So we're going whether they invite us back or not. Obviously, we want to be invited back because there's something very special about being part of the event,
right?
As opposed to going to the event.
Yes, this was our first year actually being invited to be part of CrimeCon, not just attendees.
Exactly.
We were on podcast row,
yeah,
which is huge for us.
That's huge. So, and we have our listeners to thank for it. So
yes, we
thank
do.
You. So, but it was one of those, and that's why if you haven't been, you really should go. So we'll get into some details here. But first of all, Lauren, like 2 days before, and I was very hesitant. I'm like, well, this is kind of silly, but whatever. We'll just walk to a convenience store, a grocery store, something. Well, I'm glad she did it because it wasn't like you could just walk to a 7-Eleven. I don't think I've seen a 7-Eleven anywhere.
No, there was no place in walking distance from the hotel.
Not that I could see. I think there was a Target. I think there was a Target we could see from the hotel room high up. It didn't look that far, but of course, you know,
from the 18th floor, it didn't look far.
So, but anyway, so Laura decides she's going to order Walmart and have it DoorDashed, which was perfect because our flight was actually delayed because of rain. So we flew from our airport into Atlanta, changed planes, and then we flew to New Orleans. And we sat in the
flight was delayed in New Orleans for like 3 hours.
Yeah, it was like a little over two hours, something like that. But the nice thing was that the pilot actually opened the door and let us get out. Go back into the airport, get some snacks and water, and come back on. Because all they had, of course, was those little cracker things or whatever they give you. But with all that said, once we got there, we literally were checked in for 10 minutes and the phone rings. And it's the DoorDash guy with all of our supplies from Walmart. So we had water, we had cookies, we had donuts, chips.
all the goodies.
Well, things you need. I mean,
all the vacation snacks.
Because you know how it is. I mean, like in the morning time, you get up, you just want to have a cup of coffee, maybe a little snack, and then especially after, you know, you go to bed at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, which is rough for me because I was going to bed sometime between 3 and 4 every morning. And that's rough considering I was still losing an hour. So technically, if I'm in bed at 3 o'clock, that's 4 o'clock my time.
Right.
So, and Vegas is going to be worse because it's 3 hours
delay. Vegas
is
3 hours behind. We're going to leave earlier. We're actually going to get there earlier. Yeah. Next year,
exactly.
So that we can have a day or so to acclimate, maybe.
Well, the thing was, is we got there, and I was telling Lauren, I said, well, I'm pretty excited. So she wanted to take a nap, so she goes upstairs, take a nap. Once we get to the hotel, get checked in. And we, you know what's kind of nice? Because we normally, like if we do a vacation, we'll rent a car, and we'll drive around. But here in the last couple of years, if we've gone somewhere, we've just Ubered. And I mean, we paid $43 for an Uber to get from the airport.
You know, the messed up part was as soon as we got off the plane and we walked down to the baggage area, I got on Uber to check to see if there was Ubers around and what it was going to cost. And it said $23. I was like, okay, great. That's not too bad. We'll get an Uber. So, but then we had to wait for our luggage,
which was about 30 minutes roughly.
So we finally got our luggage. I got back on the Uber app and all of a sudden it's $43.
Well, high time, baby.
It was like every plane that was delayed because of weather landed at the same time. So that drove the Uber price like way up.
Yeah. Several people we talked to at the hotel said that their plane was circling for a little while. So we finally, but it was nice because, like I was going to say, with the Uber guy, is the Uber guy we had, I can't think of his name, very nice guy.
I don't remember.
He had a real strong, like a Russian accent, maybe? Was it Russian?
It was Russian or something.
I don't know, but it was definitely a heavy accent, but he spoke nice enough English to tell us about in this part of town they're doing this. So it was almost like getting a small little tour on our way to the hotel, because I told him we'd never been to Austin. So he's like, well, if you look over here, you'll see this, and you look over here. So it's kind of cool. So if you go to these places, you get an Uber, start asking questions. Hey, what's that? What's that? Because if they live there, they know, especially if they're driving a lot, because I think that's all this guy did was drove Uber.
Yeah, he had like 3,000 some rides. It shows you like how many rides they've done. And
I think that's all he does. Well, I'm going to jump forward a little bit, but we'll come back. We ended up taking an Uber back to our hotel from a different hotel that we were at. And that, remember that guy? This guy had like his iPad set up inside his car that had played all his music.
Trivia games.
A phone with a map and hanging on the back of the seats were trivia games. I'm like, this guy is expert level Uber driver. And I'd never seen that before, but this guy was on point. But no, if you go, what we did is we Ubered to the hotel, which was nice because the guy kind of gave us the tour and stuff to do and told us about the one place. If you go down here, this is a happening spot.
Sixth Street.
Yeah, exactly. Was it Sixth Street he was talking about? I thought he was talking about the place we ended up going to.
No.
The Luster's Pearl.
I don't remember the name of that street, but
he said it was a happening spot, which I think we ended up finding it later on.
Yeah.
But there's several places in Austin that are happening spots. But the Fairmont Hotel, we get there, place is absolutely beautiful. It's weird because it's kind of like they're rebuilding downtown. And so the hotel is kind of in an area that's kind of old. I'm not going to say it's just an old part of town. So we get into the hotel and check in. Well, Lauren goes up. We get all unpacked and stuff. I said, well, look, I'm going to go downstairs and just sit for a minute in the lobby, maybe go and check on what's going on. Because that's me. I'm one of those. I like to just kind of walk around and take everything in. So,
and I like to take naps.
Yeah, she wanted to get a nap in. Well, I mean, it was a long journey for us.
It was.
Because we started at 4 o'clock in the morning.
We got up at 3.
Yeah,
we left the house at 4. No, we left the house at 3:30. We got to the airport by 4. Our flight
left at what, 6, 6:15, something like that?
Our flight left at 6, so we had to board at 5:30.
Yeah.
It was so, just and plus you had a long delay. Day.
So Lauren goes up to take a nap, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go downstairs. So I walk up to the bar downstairs. Now, mind you, when I was a kid, my mom lives in Texas, and so we used to visit, you know, they would spend time with my mom in the summertime and whatnot. So we'd go and hang out with mom, and sometimes we'd go to the Lone Star Brewery. Problem was, I was always so young that I never got a chance to drink the beer at Lone Star. Because when you take the tour, they give you a little wooden nickel. I think Busch Gardens used to do that same thing, too. You take the tour, and they give you a wooden nickel. You turn it in, they give you a free beer.
I don't even think they give you beer at Busch Gardens anymore.
So, well, I don't think the same people own it. The Busch family doesn't own it anymore.
As you're drinking Busch beer right now.
Busch Light, baby. I'm trying to switch beers, but let me explain to you why it is. Because I never really liked beer, and I've only drank Mick Ultra, but I go to...
No, you used to drink Bud Light.
I did drink a lot of Bud Light. Mick Ultra is a little smoother. But now we go there, so I walk up to the counter, and again, I've been to the breweries, but I've never had a Lone Star beer. So I asked the lady behind the counter, I said, do you guys have Lone Star here? I mean, do they still do Lone Star? Because I haven't seen it, because I'm in Florida, and I haven't seen it since I was a kid. The lady says, yeah, you'd have to go up to the 7th floor. I don't have it down here. I said, okay, well, I told her the story I'm telling you now about going to the breweries. And she smiles real big. She goes, hold on a second. Let me walk over here. She walks over and digs around the cooler. And sure enough, in their little refrigerator, they have a Lone Star beer. So I open it up. I crack it open. And I drink some of that. And I'm like, that is delicious. It was so good. Now, I don't know if it was because I was just at the moment it was really good or if it's just really good. I don't know. I'm going to try to get some to Florida. So if anybody listening lives in Texas and wants to ship me some Lone Star beer,
Reach out.
I'll give you an address. As long as, well, maybe
we
not.
We need a P.O. box.
Yeah, exactly. You know, creepers do
it.
You know what?
We're not going to give you guys our actual address.
I actually would give you my address because I'm that dumb. But
I wouldn't let him.
Either way. So I get the beer when I drink it. I'm really enjoying it. So she ends up sending upstairs and brings down more beer because I said, look, I'm going to drink Lone Star the rest of the night. Well, as I'm sitting down in the lobby, just having a beer, relaxing my feet up, Lauren's upstairs asleep. I look and I've been sitting maybe 15 minutes, just people watching in the hotel. And in I see Captain from True Crime Garage.
He's always The first one.
Yeah.
He's always like the first one in and the last one out.
I absolutely love that guy. So it was pretty cool because, you know, when I was like, what's up, Captain? So he's like, what's up, Ken? So he walks and gives me, to shake my hand.
Can I just say something?
Gives me a big giant hug.
Super quick, super quick. If anybody, please, if you ever meet Captain, if you ever meet him, no matter how far in the future, please do me a favor. Don't ask why. Just call him Patricia.
Oh.
That's all I have to say.
Relax, Lawrence. I mean, Lauren.
Just call him Patricia.
Relax, Lauren. I mean, Lawrence. I mean, Lauren. It's a good ongoing joke. So he gives a big hug. We sit down. We start talking. And it's so funny because if I go back to the Crime Con where we actually met Captain and hung out with him and spent a lot of time with him and got to know this guy and to where he's been on our show. And I mean, he's been a huge help for our show as far as some of the things that we've done, some of the changes we've made. We can text him, we can call him, email him, and he responds to us, and he's helped us out greatly. So we got to meet him right away. So I meet him right away, and I'm sitting there hanging out, and I see Aaron from Generation Y come up. And to me, I mean, I'm like, so now I'm kind of like, I felt I'm fanboying a little bit because I love Aaron. I love the show they do, and I hung out with him in New Orleans. And we really had some great conversations. So now here I am with Aaron from Generation Y, who, by the way, says, hey, Ken, what's going on? And I'm like, what? Wait, you remember my name? Which made me feel pretty good.
Of course he remembers your name.
Well, I'm hanging out with him quite a bit during the weekend. And I mean, I really enjoyed it because he's such a good guy. And so I was chatting with him and the captain, having a great conversation. He was with, I want to say the girl's name's Elise. I think that was her name because she really helped me with the schedule for CrimeCon because there's an app you can download called Skedge, which is pretty cool if for different things. I mean, there's different things on it. It's a Skedge app. They're not sponsoring, but it was great. So she helps me with that.
I literally just texted Captain and called him Patricia.
So we're sitting there chatting, and it's funny because I remember Lauren being like, there's Captain. The first time we went to the Crime Con, and she saw him, she's like, there's Captain. What do I do? I'm going to go, what should I say? What should I do? And so she was hem-hawing a little bit. And she goes, you know what? Screw it. I'm going. I'm just going to go say hi. What's up? And I said, go for it. So she runs over and does it. And he's so easy to talk to. And that's the thing. I think that the difference about being part of the show with CrimeCon is I'm sitting there as someone who's going to be part of the show, part of the event, I should say, rather, and with two other people part of the event who are way beyond where I am in this event thing. So it's cool because you see people walking by and they're like, pointing over there, and they're like trying to walk by and see, and then you know they want to say it. So finally, this one girl I say to her, I said, did you want to come say hi? She goes, yes. I said, well, then come over and say hi. So she ends up talking to Captain and Aaron for 10 or 15 minutes, and she's all giggly, all smiles. She walks away. She's happy as can be because, again, they're just regular people.
But it's but great. But when you don't know that, it kind of seems like they're like celebrities in a way.
Oh, I know. I mean, I still look at them that way. I mean, to me, even being there with the event, I'm like, man, I felt awesome to sit there and hang out with them, you know, because like I sat there and had conversation with Captain, and I mean, just really enjoyed the conversation. And the best part is that, you know, even if you're not talking crime, there's so much more to talk about, because even beyond the true crime podcast, there's whole different levels of stuff. So
that was Thursday night.
Well, then remember you ended up coming down, and I text you. We ended up hanging out in the lobby. So we ended up hanging down the lobby.
Yeah,
bar.
We went across the street to this barbecue place, which I highly do not recommend.
I loved it. A lot of people loved it. There's
and
two people that were in our group.
Justin from Gen Y also got sick.
I don't. Yeah, he wasn't.
So it wasn't just me.
Did you get the pulled pork?
Yes.
Never get pulled pork at a barbecue place you're not familiar with.
Well, it was gross.
Ribs
it didn't
chicken.
Even taste good. And then the next morning, it was not a good scene.
But the thing is, when you're in Texas, you think barbecue. I just thought it would be a little bit better. But
it
I did
wasn't
like,
even good.
I liked the setup, though. The setup was great. The
it
beer
was
cool ice
place.
Cold.
It was a cool place, but the food was just like.
And it was hotter than a three-pecker billy goat in there. I'm not going to lie.
They had no air conditioning.
Oh, my God. It was hot.
There is no AC in there. So that kind of was like the kickoff. And then we came back, and we were hanging out at the hotel bar. Paying $7 for a can of beer.
But you know what?
Beer.
But the thing was, is the people we were hanging out with. I was hanging out with Dan because me and Dan sat at the table.
Dan and Alex and Captain. And then Morgan came around.
Yep.
We were hanging out with them. Morgan from Crimepedia.
Yep.
And
And Dan, me and Dan were just, we had great conversation.
Dan the man.
And the thing was, is when I first met Dan, we didn't get a chance to have a lot of conversation. We sat and chatted a little bit. But this time we kind of had a lot of in-depth conversation. And Dan's a good dude. I like Dan. I can hang out with Dan like on the weekends and drink beer. I could, well, even during the weekdays because I just like to drink beer. But
so then Friday, CrimeCon kicked off.
Exactly.
And we had to, well, we were contractually obligated to spend so much time at Podcast Row.
And I absolutely love the fact that I was contractually obligated because I didn't care.
Ken,
that's where I was anyway.
Doing a great job at Podcast Row. He was eating it up.
I love it. I love talking to people.
Yeah, he was eating it up. And I was there too, but I kind of would sneak away and go to one of the sessions. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I have to admit, he spent more time at Podcast Row than I did.
Well, we discussed that going in. We kind of knew that's what was going to happen because there was so much you wanted to do. And you got pulled away because you were part, was it Thursday? Friday you were part of that event?
Friday, I think it was Friday, yeah. I did the true crime trivia with Yellow Tape.
Yeah.
True crime trivia, Rebecca Sebastian.
From Dialogue Pod.
Yeah, she's the Dialogue Pod, but then she also does the Yellow Tape true crime trivia. And I made it to the final round.
You played against Bill Thomas. I mean, come on.
I kicked Bill Thomas's ass.
I wouldn't say it that way.
but I did, though.
I like Bill Thomas, though. He's cool.
But I got my ass kicked by Dr. Shiloh.
Well, come on.
But I have no problem getting my ass kicked by Dr. Shiloh because she's like...
Dr. Shiloh.
She's Dr. Shiloh. I mean, LA Confidential. I mean, she's a forensic psychologist.
She's
I don't
BA.
Know. She's badass.
Well, the best part about that for Lauren...
It came down to me and Dr. Shiloh.
Exactly.
And it was like, oh my gosh, I'm up here on this stage in front of all these people going against Dr. Shiloh in this...
tell people prior to that, because remember, prior to that, you got a chance to go and hang out with some of the big dogs from other podcasts and other events. Because remember, you got to hang out with Bob Ruff from Truth and Justice.
Well, because of the True Crime Trivia... We had to go backstage and we had to get like mic'd up and
all. It was
all
so cool for Rebecca to ask you. That was really awesome.
Yes, it was amazing. She is so cool. Her and I have literally gone back and forth online for like 2 to 3 years and we have never actually met face to face. So this is the first time we actually met face to face and I just adore her. But it was really neat to do the true crime trivia because I'm with the likes of Bob Ruff and
Bill Thomas. Who else? Alice from the Prosecutors Podcast.
I'm drawing a blank. Stephanie Harlow.
Oh yeah, Stephanie Harlow. That's Crime Weekly because she works with.
Yeah, she's got the YouTube channel.
But she also is with Crime Weekly for Derek Levasseur.
Derek Levasseur. Yeah.
I got a funny story on that one.
It was just a super cool experience to be part of that. It was really cool.
Yeah, the backstage event, and that allows you to meet other people. So that was the best part about being part of the event instead of just there for the event.
Yeah.
It's like you had it was so much more involved. So
right.
CrimeCon puts on, it's first class. I think everything they do is first class. And obviously, there were some people that were complaining about a few things. I said, look.
You can't please everyone.
Yeah, exactly. For the most part, like me, I was happy. I got to see some sessions. The thing I didn't like necessarily about it, the only thing I would change is if I was in charge, is make Podcast Row an event. The problem is like podcasters, sometimes we want to go be part of a session or see a session.
Right.
And I got to see some, and I want to talk about one in particular that I really liked, was my favorite. And I'll explain in a minute. But I think, like for me, I was sitting there talking to people. What I would do is when the hallway emptied out, everyone was in the sessions and seeing speakers. The breakout room behind me was right there. So fortunately, got to see Body Moving. And I can't think of his name. I lose it every time.
John Green?
John Green. Thank you. I was going to say Tom Green, but I knew it wasn't Tom Green.
I'm going to tell a story about Body Moving
so
here in a minute. But
John Green and Body Moving, they did Don't Fuck With Cats. And, to sit there and listen to them tell the story about how that was made. and the title of the show. And one of the funny parts of the thing was John Green says he's in there talking. The guy says, hey, do you want something to drink? There's stuff to drink in the fridge. And he opens up the fridge and he actually put a picture of what he took a picture of what was in the fridge when they were doing this filming. And it's a whole entire refrigerator full of nothing but Red Bull, not a bottle of water, not a beer, nothing. And so they told the story and it was really great. But that's the thing that CrimeCon does is you get to see sort of a
story being told. And I really wanted to see it.
I think you were doing the true crime thing. You were getting set up for that, I think.
Yeah, I missed that session. That's one thing I regret that I didn't get to go to.
Tell the story about Body Movin' that you had.
So, Body Movin', it's Deanna Thompson is actually her name. But if you've watched Don't Fuck With Cats on Netflix, which I think everybody has.
If you have it, you should.
So...
not for the faint of heart, though.
I saw her outside, just right outside of the hotel, out of the front door. And I literally just walked up to her. I'm like, hey, you know, I didn't get to see your thing, but I'm a big fan. Can we take a picture? And then I explained to her, our daughter, she's 17. She watched Don't Fuck With Cats, and she was so fascinated. I cannot tell you how many questions she had for me about Luca Magnotta and the whole Don't Fuck With Cats thing. And she was just like blown away, like, oh my God. And I am sitting here talking to Deanna, just like we're old friends. I'm like, so my daughter, she's 17. CrimeCon has a very strict 18 and up policy. So we could not bring our daughter. Next year she'll be 18. And if she wants to go, she's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But Deanna was so sweet. She said, let's make a video for your daughter. So we made a video, and she literally called her out by name. She said, hey, I'm here with your mom. You know, we're so sorry you're not here, but we'll see you next year.
Yeah.
And I just, that was so amazing. And I texted to my daughter, and she was just like, oh my God, I can't believe you did blah, 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 blah. Like,
yeah, it's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. So, everybody that you meet that I've met so far, I have not met a single, like, asshole.
There's one. I'm not going to say his name, but that's only one I've met.
I think I might know who you're referring to, but we're not going to.
For the most part, and you know the thing is, he's like that everywhere, so it's cool. So as far as everybody that's there, everyone that's there for the most part, CrimeCon does a fantastic job of making sure that the people that show up are there. If you stay at the hotel, you get a chance to really experience some of the behind the scenes stuff with people because, Was it Friday? CrimeCon's over with as far as the events during the day because we saw.
Yeah, Friday night we went to the Luster Pearl.
Well, prior to that, didn't we sit with Chris Hansen or was that Saturday?
No, it was Friday. It was Friday. We sat down with Chris Hansen for about like 30 minutes.
So funny story, we're walking into the coffee shop. And again, now Lauren and I are there with the show. But still, you still have that feeling of, well, I'm walking by. I say, hey, babe, there's Chris Hansen. She goes, yeah, it is Chris Hansen. She goes, I want to talk to him. I said, me too. And I said, so what do you want to do? She goes, well, you take the lead on this. I'm like, all right. So we go in, we get some coffee or snacks or whatever it was we were getting. I think it was coffee. So as we walk out of the little coffee shop that's there, he's still sitting at the table with his wife, who was wonderful. She's awesome.
Super sweet.
So I walk up and I say, excuse me. He goes, yes. I said, could you tell me to have a seat? He goes, yeah, have a seat. I said, don't mind if I do. So we sit down and we end up talking like 30 minutes.
Well, because we had some stuff in common because Chris Hansen is currently working. He's doing some stuff, a lot of stuff with like – these online predators. Yeah,
he did a show. He did a session about that.
And we did, not long ago, less than a year ago, we did an episode about Davi Vanity.
Yeah.
And Chris Hansen went after Davi Vanity pretty hard.
So did you.
So did I. But I actually remember when I was researching it, I was watching YouTube videos of Chris Hansen going after Davi Vanity. So, We talked about that for a while. We talked about he's got some new stuff coming up.
He's got a podcast he does as well, so look it up.
Yeah, he's but it was pretty neat to sit down, him and his wife, super, super nice people.
And that's one of the things you get to experience at the hotel is if you stay at the hotel that CrimeCon sponsors, or that sponsors the CrimeCon thing, you get the ability to go downstairs and you're in the coffee shop and there's Chris Hansen, and then you've got, you know, the detective that did the favorite show I got to see. And I'll go ahead and be honest with you, because I've actually met a few people and I'm going to be doing an interview with someone, but more on the law enforcement side of things, not necessarily the victim or the criminal, because I think a lot of times people forget that, you know, the police are one of the ones that are working the hardest. But we got to sit through the event of the Austin City bomber.
Yes. And see I feel like that was my favorite
session. That's my favorite session, because I like the law enforcement side. And that guy was he basically took up the whole entire hour and kept your attention, and he basically gave you facts. I mean, it was like a podcast, because this guy's talking, but yet he's giving you pictures. And the part he did at the end, the way he laid it out and did the end, was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was a great session.
It was a great session. It was one of my favorite. And I guess it's because you get in the moment. That's what I was saying. When you get in the moment. So like when you're at Disney, you buy the ears, you know, you buy all the Disney stuff because you're in the moment. So when you're at the venue, it's Austin, the Austin City Bomber. It's kind of like when we were in New Orleans, Rody Sanchez was the shit. Why? Because it's New Orleans.
Yeah.
Rody Sanchez.
It's Rody Sanchez.
So you just kind of get in the moment, and I think the Austin City Bomber thing was so great. But again, that's from the law enforcement aspect, which I really enjoyed. So I know that I've got the interview coming up with a guy who wrote a book, and he was actually one of the speakers that are there. So I'm excited about doing that, because we met him there, and we talked to him, and I met another guy that came in that I'm going to talk to that worked with the Green River Killer. So this is going to be exciting stuff, and that's what the connections we made were great.
Yeah, we made a lot of really good connections, and hopefully we'll be able to do some interviews and
bring some more
content, bring some different. If you are a patron, then you heard our last Off Topic and Uncut, and you know that we're going to be making some changes. We're going to be kind of reformatting a little bit. And
but get ready, because there's going to be a lot more to listen to.
Yes, there is.
We're going to start putting out a little more content.
We're going to put a little bit more out. We're going to try and grow. That's really our goal.
That's one thing that CrimeCon did too, is it
try
sort of,
to grow.
CrimeCon kind of re-energizes us.
That happened to us last year too. After CrimeCon, we were like, yes, we're going to do this. Next year, we're going to be on Podcast Row. And we said that at the last CrimeCon, but that was in 2019 in New Orleans. And then, lo and behold, out of nowhere, we got an email from CrimeCon saying, hey, do you guys want to be in Orlando?
That's right. And then COVID hit.
And then COVID hit. So Orlando got canceled. But then we were still invited to Austin. And we're hoping that we'll be invited again to Vegas.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep growing. And
it's going to be great. Well, here's the other part too, because what CrimeCon does, it rejuvenates you, but then it will suck the life out of you in the nightlife.
That's true.
Because at night,
so true.
You're trying to keep up, because you're like, you know what? We can do this. And you're with Aaron, who I swear is a vampire. I mean, I heard this on True Crime Garage talking about it. And I was literally, I think he tucked me in one night, I swear to God, because this guy, and he's like me, when I'm there, Lauren will tell you, I don't nap, I don't sleep, I'm constantly up. And he goes, and I don't know how he does it. The stamina the guy has is amazing. We left Friday night, went to, after all the event, we went to a place called Luster's Pearl, which is on this little strip where there's a bunch of food trucks. Great little venue.
It was fun.
There was music. It was kind of loud, but you could move around a little bit. They had a TV going. They had several bars. But you get to a certain point in the night where all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're doing pickleback shots. And you're like, what? We're doing what? And then, boom, pickleback shots. And then, it's funny because you meet so many different people. So sometimes you're just like talking to somebody and then they disappear. But yet there's somebody new standing in front of you and you're enjoying this conversation with somebody new. And then, of course, the next day they're like, oh, remember last night? And you're like, no, I don't remember anything past 2 o'clock. But so we were going to a place called Luster's Pearl, which I think was a great place. The beer was definitely cheaper than it was at
the hotel.
So the hotel was beautiful, though. But I mean, and we did sponsor the hotel one night with our drinking, and we had breakfast there. I mean, me and Lauren had omelets.
Their breakfast was delicious.
Oh, the food was good.
It was amazing.
Lauren loved the pizza, too. She ended up getting it like twice.
The pizza was really good.
So that was Friday
Saturday,
night.
Saturday, we didn't, I don't think we had to be at Podcast Row until like 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I was there at like 11.
Well, here's the thing though, is because the night before, I don't remember much. Well, I know somehow I ended up walking completely alone. I'm not proud of this, but this is stupid.
Nor
stupid,
am I.
Stupid.
I'm not proud of it either.
Move. But I walked back to the hotel by myself at like 2 a.m. in a city I don't know. Thank God. I mean, but it was still pretty happening. There was still a bunch of people on the street.
The distance is one parking lot from the hotel.
Yeah, it wasn't like a half mile. No, it wasn't a far walk, but
unfortunately, the place is so packed, but I did watch her till she got down the street and kind of turned to the left a little bit. She claims that she went across the parking lot, but I saw her go left, so I don't know what happened there.
I don't remember.
So I ended up coming back a little later, but
Saturday, I ended up sleeping in a little bit late, and Ken went down.
I was up and at him, baby.
He was up and at him, but I sort of took my time, and I slept in and took my time and took some more time and... you know, that's just how things went.
Well, the thing was too is like I was working the booth. Lauren was kind of mingling. She was talking to other people because you talked to the podcasters out there. I mean, there were so many other great podcasts. The one was Cults, Crimes, and Cabernet. They were great. I mean, that guy came down.
They were awesome.
They were so excited to be there, like we were. I think this was their first time too.
Yeah.
Great show they've got, and they sat there and they talked. And then of course. There was a few others, and it was funny because I sat there. I'm sitting at the table, and I was there a long time. And then Alice from the Prosecutor's Podcast, she comes over. She goes, "Hey, I'm sitting straight across from you." And I thought, "Wow, I haven't even met you yet. I probably should introduce myself." And I'm like, "Well, don't I feel like an asshole?" You know, because I'm like, "Man, I feel like an asshole because you're right." I said, "I've been so excited to sit here at this table and talk to anybody who might want to talk to me about our podcast." And I just forgot to go talk to anybody else. So,
yeah.
But you know, that was Saturday. I went to see, I went to another event Saturday. I think it was called the beta thing, the Don't Fuck With Cats. That I wanted to really see. There was one other one. The one I really wanted to see was, I can't remember if it was Sunday. Might've been Sunday. I'm not sure, but
just runs together.
Abby and Libby, Memorial Park thing when they talked to the family about that.
I specifically did not go to that because.
Yeah. Well, you had, before the whole thing started, we went down to exhibitors section, the exhibitors row, I call it. And Lauren actually talked to her grandma, you know, and had a nice
Becky
long conversation.
Patty. I had a nice conversation with her and we both teared up. And it was just, I don't know, that case really just.
Well, people ask me, because I've been asked, and we actually had this discussion at CrimeCon. Somebody said, what case would you love to see solved? And I said, that's kind of tough because I want them all solved. But there's two cases that really blow my mind. And I tell you this only because I'm leading in, because Saturday I had a chance to, it was only a couple minutes, but I had a great conversation Saturday with somebody from Brandon Lawson's family, and I can't remember who it was. This was later on in the evening time when we were all.
Yes, I know.
But I ended up talking to him. The Brandon Lawson case blows me away. That one drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that's my diamond in the rough. That's not the one I want to find solved. I want them all solved. But that one there really boggles my mind. I know Brian Schaefer, a lot of people would say, but there's a lot of explanation. But with Brian Lawson, there's like no explanation. But obviously the other one would be probably most likely for me was going to be Delphi, because when a couple crime cons, you've seen events, these people's hearts, man, are just so big, and they want everything to happen. So having a conversation with them was just amazing, and then watch them on the stage, and it was so sad because they could, you know, barely speak. I mean, it took a minute for them to start like talking about it. Here we are 4 years later. So I really wanted to see that one because that to me, I just want to see anytime that they're talking or doing something. The family, obviously, they're so involved, especially Kelsey German, who, I mean, she advocates day in, day out.
Liberty's older sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She advocates big time. So we did that. And of course, obviously, we're at Podcast Row with all these other people. We sat across from Fruit Loops, The girl had beautiful hair, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Oh my God, she had, her hair was amazing. I thought, man, I don't know how you get it like that, but what great hair. And then foul play, I did go talk to that guy. And here's an interesting story I'll run through real quick. When we went to Podcast Row in New Orleans, I had a good conversation with the guy. They did have a podcast about the documentary Keepers. And they originally had their name of it was Out of the Shadows. So I went over and asked him, I said, hey, I said, the bottle opener I carry on my keychain says Out of Shadows. Why'd you change your name? He went through this long story about how somebody stole his name. And he basically, they were using it in YouTube and not for the parameters that he has set up for that name. So he went ahead and just changed the name because technically it was going to be easier that way. So kind of felt really bad for the guy. And then we were actually sitting, our booth was right next to James Renner, Philosophy of Crime. And he's different. He's a different cat, but I like the guy. I had great conversation with him.
I like James Renner.
I liked it. I mean, his book, True Crime Addict. Lauren's like, just listen to this.
I've listened to True Crime Addict twice.
So I listened to his book because it's audible. But I listened to it when I started. I couldn't stop. I couldn't not listen anymore. What a great story. And then he goes to the Amy Mahalovic. He talks about Maura Murray. There's a lot of stuff he does. And then a lot of other things about some of the things he's gone through in his lifetime, which was really great story. So if you haven't listened to it or read it, you should. He was right next to us. And then, of course, you had True Crime Garage, who was right next to Crimepedia. They were down the very beginning of the hallway because they knew they had to give TCG plenty of space.
Yeah.
Because they everybody else is sitting at their booths except those guys because all people want to do is take pictures with them, which I don't blame them. But you had Helen Gone. They were there. I can't think of her name to save my life, but she does these long form podcasts. And I recently just listened to the one that she did on Matrice Richardson, and it was great. And the podcast was great. Now, I feel bad because I've never listened to Brain Scratch. I know Lauren has.
Yeah, Brain Scratch is actually a YouTube show.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know, maybe it's a podcast now. But I've always watched Brain Scratch on YouTube.
See, me, I can't. I don't
and
have.
And that's John Lorden.
Yeah.
And, man, he's just awesome. The way he presents a case, it's like you're literally scratching your head, like scratching your brain. Like, what?
He was super nice, too.
Yeah, that was the first time meeting him. I don't know that he was actually at the last Crime Con we were at.
I don't think he was.
If he was, I didn't get to meet him.
Yeah, he wasn't.
But,
well, then you got a chance to talk to, was it Alvin that you talked to from Affirmative Murder?
Yes.
Those guys?
Alvin. I met him.
I can't think of his partner's name.
Oh, I can't.
But he was a super nice guy. We had a quick conversation. It was just quick. But I did speak to Alvin.
See, what happened is, so here we're going to move into Saturday Night real
Which
quick.
Which fine. I mean, we're kind of moving along the way anyway.
Saturday Night, we all put it out on social media. All the podcasters were meeting at this bar called the Jackalope. And it was a good time. But I saw Alvin. I did not know his name at the time. But I saw him at the bar. And I said, hey, you know, my name's Lauren from Paradise After Dark. We're sitting across from you at Podcast Row. I keep seeing you guys. I haven't had a chance to introduce myself. So I introduced myself to him at the bar. And then the next day, he actually walked over. He said, let's do a formal introduction. And we shook hands and everything.
Didn't he have a great hat? That hat was great.
Yes. they've got a great show. They've got a great show. I've only been able to listen to one episode, but definitely going to be in my queue for a new podcast.
And they're usually little over an hour long, which some people like that long format. We had one lady mad at us because ours aren't an hour long. Like some of them are, but sometimes our listeners don't. I don't know if our listeners like hour long episodes. Remember, the lady was mad. Well, I walk for 2 hours and I need an hour long podcast. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Could you just listen to two episodes? But it was kind of funny. And then the other one, I finally got to meet. Voices for Justice.
Sarah Turney.
I was gonna say that. So I tell her. I said, "Oh my God." We were chatting because she's walking by. I said, "Hi, Sarah. We've chatted before, and we talked on Get Vocal because she's everywhere, And she had her booth set up, but they had her going everywhere. She was doing a session.
Yeah, she was always busy.
And so she was kind of crazy, kind of like Bob Ruff. He was all over the place.
Yeah.
That guy, he does True Crime Binge and Truth and Justice.
Yeah.
But so I said, oh, yeah. I said, I love your TikTok videos. And she goes, oh, you got a TikTok? I said, yeah. She goes, what is it? I'll follow you. So she opens my TikTok. She goes, oh, my God, you got a lot of followers. And then she follows me. And I'm like, well, how many followers has she got? And I'm like, 1.1 million? Holy crap.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she. If you don't know the show, it's amazing, the show that she does.
Well, it was really cool to meet Sarah face-to-face because I had met Sarah via internet, via phone call, because she was on my other show, It's Hard to Talk About.
Yeah.
And we did an interview and everything. So I really felt like I already knew Sarah, but I had never actually met Sarah face to face. So it was really neat to actually.
Well, on that show, she opened up because she talked about herself instead of everyone else.
That's the point of that.
Yeah.
That was, I wanted to hear Sarah's story. Now, Sarah spends her life telling her sister Alyssa's story. And I wanted Sarah to tell Sarah's story.
And she does.
And it came out really great. And it was so good to just meet her face to face, and you know, she's so awesome.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you guys, Crime Weekly. So I'm in the elevator, and we're going up, whatever. And Derek and I'm on there with these two other women that are on there. And Derek Lavasser steps onto the elevator, and I say, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "Good, man." And I said, "You going over?" Blah, blah. We start chatting or whatever, and I told him, I said, "My wife, you know, she watched all your shows, read your book." So I said, "She's a huge fan." I said, "We're three booths down from you. She was going to come down and see you, but you were kind of busy all day." And he's like, "Yeah, they got me going everywhere." And I could hear these two ladies next to me were just oohing and on because this dude is he is cool.
Well, he was on Big Brother. He won the Big Brother thing.
I know, but he is smooth. You know what I mean? The way he talks, the way he carries himself, presents himself.
If you listen to his book,
man,
then you will learn how to be that way.
He is just smooth. So I'm sitting here looking,
his book.
I'm talking to him.
He teaches you how to be that way.
It's funny, and these two ladies are next to me, and they're just like, oh my God. And I'm chatting with him, and he's a super nice guy. He ended up going up to the Jackalope too, which Lauren's going to tell you how, I guess somebody came up with the idea to go to Jackalope.
It was Bob Ruff. Yeah. Actually, no, it was Maggie Freeling's idea. Because Maggie Freeling was in Austin. She was not at CrimeCon. I'm not sure why. But she was in Austin.
She got a lot of stuff going on, maybe.
Yeah. And it was her idea to go to the Jackalope. So everybody put on social media, all the podcasters, we're all going to the Jackalope. So we all go to the Jackalope. And in walks Maggie Freeling with Jason Baldwin. And if you don't know who Jason Baldwin is, then I don't even know what to tell you.
I felt like a freaking dumbass because everybody kept saying, "Who's that?" I said, Stephen Baldwin. So I'm talking to Aaron on Sunday. I said, "Yeah, did you see Stephen Baldwin come in?" He goes like, "Who's Stephen Baldwin?" It was Jason Baldwin. And I said, "Oh, Jesus. I don't know why I kept calling him Stephen all night long. I knew this guy was. But for some reason, I kept calling him Stephen Baldwin. And I said it to Aaron from Gen Y. And I felt like a complete idiot because he goes, "Why did you call him Stephen?" I said, "I don't know. Maybe it's because I've had 10 hours sleep in 3 days."
Well, anyway, so Jason Baldwin is one of the West Memphis Three. And I actually got a chance to meet him. I talked to him for a bit. He was very friendly, to say the least. It was a short encounter, but it was pretty cool to say that I...
Well, he came in with Maggie. They kind of come in undercover. And it was pretty impressive because didn't Maggie recognize you?
Yes, Maggie did. And, I mean, of course Maggie recognized me because
Well, you didn't have purple hair this time.
I know, but it was cool because I know Maggie, but it's been 2 years. So I just was like, "Hey, Maggie, you remember me?" And she's like, "Yeah, Paradise After Dark, what's up?" And it was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I've expected her to remember my face or something. But to remember my actual name and my podcast, it was like, because Maggie Freeling is my girl crush. I mean, I just adore her. I just think that everything she does is gold. And
yeah, she does good work.
Yeah.
Really does.
I adore her. So that was really nice to see her.
And Saturday night was just a straight up dance party at Jackalope.
It was a dance party. I was dancing. I probably shouldn't have been.
I was. There's dancing
videos
like crazy
of me dancing, which.
I hope no one has videos of me dancing because I can't dance, but I was dancing. So I was just doing the thing that I do when I move my body.
But then it got a little. Here's the fun part. So it was pretty late, and I was getting tired, and I was like ready to go. So I happened to walk out, and Justin from Gen Y and Kelly Barron's Brink from True Crime IRL, who we met this weekend, who is the bomb.
She's amazing.
One of the coolest chicks I've ever met.
But Justin's pretty cool too.
Well, Justin's definitely
give
super
some props.
Cool.
I mean, you just go and walk like
Justin.
To Kelly.
Justin's cool, but Kelly's like my homegirl now. Yeah. But they were getting ready to leave, and they were getting an Uber. So I'm like, hey, can I share your Uber and go back to the hotel? So we're waiting for the Uber.
Because now I walked her out. I was going to walk her back to the hotel. Just in my defense, because now it seems like I've left you alone two nights in a row.
No.
And then she's like, no, you go back in. Justin's like, yeah, go ahead. I'll get her home. And that was how we got here. So go ahead.
So there are these scooters everywhere all over Austin.
I forget what they're called.
I don't know, but there's scooters everywhere. And I tried to ride one, and there's a video of it somewhere. But
yeah, well, you got to pay for them to work.
But here's the thing, though. When you first pick it up, it'll allow you to actually scoot on it like a scooter, not a motorized scooter, but just like a scooter. But
like
then
a razor.
It like slowly starts to lock up to where you can't scoot anymore. And that's what happened to me.
And when you're inebriated, you just leave it wherever.
And that's exactly what happened. And I just dropped it. And I said, this is why these motherfuckers are all over the fucking street.
They are all over Austin.
They're all over. On every sidewalk, you got to like walk around and step over all these step fucking scooters.
People just
leave
them
everywhere. These scooters are everywhere. And that's why I figured it out, because they don't scoot. You can scoot for like maybe 10 feet and then the wheels lock up and then you can't scoot anymore. You just got to drop it.
And I missed that debauchery.
But there is a video. Kelly has it. Kelly, please don't show anyone.
Kelly, please post it. Please post it if you're listening. Then I stayed there at the Jackalope and I ended up helping these two women who lost their purse. And they were like so thankful, and it's like, why don't thank me? I'm okay with it. And it was so funny because I said, look, she couldn't find her purse. Well, I'm looking under benches and booths, and there's these. Of course, now mind you, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm crawling under these booths, and there's people at them. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, we were just sitting here. There was a purse here, and I'm trying to find this purse.
He's like taking upskirt photos.
I was not. I'm not a creeper. Are you kidding me? I can barely use my phone. So I'm looking for this purse, right? And I'm helping these two women out. They're panicked. And I understand because the one woman, or one girl, I should say, rather, took her purse and put it in the other girl's purse. Well, that purse is missing. And it has both purses, both phones, all the credit cards, all the keys, everything. So I said, look, finally we get through. I said, look, it's loud in here. We can't communicate. They asked the bar, two different bartenders, no purse. I said, why don't we walk outside? You can use my phone, call your husband, boyfriend, whatever it is you got, and see if they can do find my iPhone. Maybe that'll help. So we go outside. She's like, my husband's not going to answer. My husband's not going to answer the phone. I said, look, you're out of town. It's 2:30 in the morning. The phone's ringing with a strange number. I assure you he's going to answer. She goes, I don't think he's going to answer. I said, just call. She calls. Boom. Within like one ring, he's answering the phone. We'll come to find out he was a state trooper somewhere. I'm not even sure where they were from. And I guess he ended up talking to her. So we ended up going back up there. We asked for a manager, but we sat and waited with them. This whole process takes like 45 minutes or so, like an hour or whatever. But I sat outside with them. They're panicked. They're freaking out, and I'm calming them down. And I felt good about myself because I'm like, I feel like I'm helping somebody. But she was like very like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm like, look, I didn't really do anything. I just used my phone. But I guess just having somebody there was really good. So if you're listening to this and you lost your purse, I'm so happy that you lost your purse, and I'm more than willing to do that kind of stuff. And I was right when I said, trust me, if you call, he will answer the phone. Because if my wife's out of town and at 2:30 in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone's ringing with a strange number, I'm answering it. And then come to find out that he was in law enforcement, I know damn good and well he's going to answer. Because he's like,
yeah.
He's like, what's this number? Why are they calling me? It's 2 o'clock. Where's my wife? She's out of town. Hello. Figuring it might be the police or something. But
right.
It was funny because like later on that night, I ended up getting a text message from her husband saying, thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it. So it was kind of cool. That's I felt nice. Really good.
I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that part.
Yeah, I got the text message. So it was really cool. And then, of course, I get back to the room, and then I sat out down there and talked to our new friend, Kara. Kara, we met her. I can't think of her last name, but Kara, she was there, and it was Kara and Dan and me. We sat in the lobby just chatting.
Kara. She was so sweet.
Isn't she awesome?
She's so sweet.
Where's she from? I want to say Virginia, but I'm not right. I can't remember where she's from, but she was super nice. She hung out with us, but I guess we met when we were sitting there talking to James Renner, and ended up actually, me and her were talking to James Renner's wife, who was the first time I ever heard her or talk, or, you know, I've listened to all of his stuff. I've listened to his book, and I got a chance to meet her. She's super sweet. I mean, it's like, that's the thing about CrimeCon is the people they have there are just fantastic. You know, the people are so interactive and want to talk to you. Whether you're getting coffee downstairs, I mean, they're there for the event, but they're there all day long. Even though their speech or their session's only an hour long, it's like they're there all day. So, and Kara was awesome. Who else did we meet? Of course, our friend Sabrina. She's an OG.
Yeah,
Sabrina and Dan are OGs. We really did miss
Alex and Kelly are OGs.
Oh, Alex and Kelly are definitely OGs. You know, it's funny because I never really had a chance at the first one to really have spend much time with Kelly, but this time it was kind of cool because she's like, "Hey, come sit next to me for the one event, the Yellow Tape True Crime Trivia."
Yes, I remember.
So I sat there.
I was backstage peeking out. Yeah. I don't know if you could. You probably
couldn't barely see you.
But I'm looking and I'm like, okay, there's Ken and there's Kelly. I'm like, okay, yes, somebody's showing up to see me. Somebody that I know is in the audience.
Yeah, and Alex was there. So we had Alex, Kelly, we had Sabrina, Dan. Those are the OGs. We were really, really missing Shelly and Dana. Because Shelly and Dana, we stayed and hung out with them Sunday night after the event. That's where Adam was there. We hung out with them.
Adam,
went back to Ernst Cafe back in New Orleans, of course. And then, of course, we missed Jen. I really wish Jen could have come down.
I know.
She was in Texas, but I think she got a lot going on. So I hope that everybody that I just mentioned, all the original OGs can make it to Vegas and the new OGs.
Vegas, baby.
Because we have OGs 2.0?
Yeah, we have a new Facebook group, CrimeCon OGs 2.0. It's a private group. You can't join it
unless you're at CrimeCon. Which was really a good
event.
That
means next year you need to go to CrimeCon.
Just so you can be an OG.
And you hang out with us so you can be part of CrimeCon
OG 2.2.
3.0. All right.
So that was Saturday night. And then we didn't get back to the hotel. And I just sat down in the lobby and I talked to Captain and Kara. And Nick was there. So I had a good conversation with Nick from True Crime Garage. I talked to him several times. And actually, I'm excited because he's supposed to be coming to Florida. And with a little luck, he may just give Paradise After Dark a call and come and have some dinner with us, which I think would be really great. If he's in Florida, we'll go to where he's at and meet him, because Nick is really cool as well. And again, I hung out a lot with Aaron, and I really enjoy speaking with Aaron from Gen Y. So it's like there's so many people there you just want to talk to, and then you find the ones that really you just hit right. Just really good. Morgan was there from Crimepedia. There was just so many people. I don't even know who all to say. I don't want to miss anybody, but you know, the details are a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
And Sunday at CrimeCon is kind of a half day. And a lot of the podcast row was open. But there weren't that many people there.
A lot of people I think had left.
So a lot of the podcasters had left. Some of the speakers had left.
Yeah.
They had some events and, I went and saw one of them. I can't remember which one it was that I went to see. Anyway, I know which one it was. It was the lie, how to tell if a guy's lying.
Oh yeah.
I can't think of who it was. Massick. I can't think of his name. I do know what his name is. He's in the book. He's in the book right here. Carrie Rawson was there too. She's the daughter of
Dennis Rader.
Dennis Rader, BTK. People don't know that. And she was there talking at from her perspective, which was pretty amazing from what everybody says. And you guys can go to, was it Crime HQ or CrimeCon HQ? Mark McLish, that's who it is. He knows it to know when you're lying, Mark McLish. But you guys can go to, I think, is it CrimeCon HQ or Crime HQ? I'm not sure, but look them up because you can actually see all the events that were there. And then Sunday is kind of a short day, but then I was meeting my mom because my mom was in Texas. So after CrimeCon was over, we packed up. We put all the stuff in the room and then go back down And we ended up going to lunch with Captain from True Crime Garage. So we sat there, had lunch with Captain before he took off. And then we ended up meeting up with my parents there, which was nice.
Yeah.
And spent a day and a half there with them. So we went and hung out with them, which was really nice, and enjoyed some of that. Got to have great conversation there. So, you know, it's a CrimeCon event. To some people, it may seem expensive. Some people, it might be cheap. I don't know, but definitely get your tickets. It's in Vegas, and you know it's going to be just a constant event all weekend long. Usually, if you're going to travel and you want to go to CrimeCon, it's the Bali and the Paris Hotel. It's going to be the end of April. It's the last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April into May. I can't think of the dates right now. I don't know why it's like escaping my brain. But they've got the exhibitors there, which some of the people are really great. Lauren met some people down there, really good people with books. That's where she got a chance to talk to a lot of different people down there, really. It's so good because you get to talk to all these people. It's a long event. And literally, if you hang in there and go to the after events, everybody comes down to the lobby of the hotel or they'll go out somewhere. If you're there, keep your ear to the track because at some point you'll hear some, hey, the podcasters are all going to go to this event or the speakers or everyone's going to go here. There'll be a party outside of the venue where you can go and hang out and talk to these people. So it's the Bali Hotel or the Paris Hotel. It's in Vegas. It's the last weekend in May. First weekend or last weekend in April.
May 29th to April 1st, I believe.
No, April 29th to May 1st.
Yeah. Oops.
Don't mind her. She's still a little, like we said, we thought we had all the alcohol out of our system. No,
I feel so dumb now.
It's the last weekend in May. April. It's the last weekend in April into May. Holy shit, we can't get this right.
Oh my God, let's wrap this up.
You know what? CrimeCon.com. That'll tell you everything you need to know. But make sure you go. And if you're going to get a hotel, go to CrimeCon's website because they have a block of rooms set up.
Yeah.
And I've done all the research. I've used Expedia. I've used Trivago. I've used Kayak. I looked at the hotel directly. I used other formats.
You're not
going to
get a better price.
You will not get a better price than going to CrimeCon's website. I've already done all your homework. So make sure you get a hotel and buy your passes, your badges. And if with a little luck, if we're invited back, I mean, if CrimeCon will have us, we're there. Because, I mean, it was so amazing to be there and be part of that. I would love to do it again, especially in Vegas. If not, either way, we're going. So we would love to see everybody there. Hopefully, if we go, obviously, there'll be some sort of promo code. But we can't guarantee that yet. All we can do is cross our fingers and hope. But make sure you check out some of the other podcasts that were there. Especially, what the hell? Cults, Crimes, and Cabernet.
Yeah, really, they were great.
I really enjoyed talking. They were so nice to talk to, easy to talk to, and a great show. It's really good stuff. So tune them in. And I really want to thank all of our listeners because for me, it was amazing. I love sitting at that booth. I love talking to people. People walking by, you know, and you want to reach out to them and say, hey, you can't even stop and talk to me? Can you take a sticker? Oh, you're going to smile at me when I take a sticker? You can't say hi without coming and talk to me. I love that kind of stuff because that's kind of my job, what I do. I'm used to talking to people, so I really enjoyed it, and I would love to do it again in Vegas. So, and I want to thank the listeners because you guys are the ones that gave us the opportunity to be there.
Absolutely.
And do that. Whether you listen, if you do listen, make sure you rate and give us a rate and review on all the places. What is it, Apple Podcasts?
Yeah, wherever you listen.
Yeah,
subscribe and rate and review.
Rate and review. And our patrons, of course, we got to thank them because that they're the ones that really sponsor the show. They make it really happen for us.
And if you'd like to join our Patreon and get a whole bunch of extra bonus episodes,
huge catalog of stuff,
early ad-free episodes, you're welcome to do that.
We have a huge catalog on there now.
Patreon.com/ParadiseAfterDarkPodcast.
Yep. And that's going to help us. Hopefully with a little luck, CrimeCon will call and be like, hey, you want to go to Vegas? Absolutely. So with a little luck, we'll go again. Either way, we're going to be in Vegas. We've already booked our room. And we want to thank everybody for listening to us and supporting the show. It's wonderful. And thanks for listening to this episode. We just wanted to kind of give you an idea of what our adventure was at CrimeCon and being part of the show was. So,
and tune in next week for an actual episode.
A new episode. Yeah, we got a new episode coming in.
Yes, we do.
And thank you, everyone, for listening
to Paradise After Dark.
Dark, dark, dark.